The Lord be with you. Good morning and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Today is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, and we are happy that you are here with us in the house of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Our order of service today is found in your hymnal, Divine Service Setting Number 4, found on page 203. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. What is the fourth commandment? Honor your father and your mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus says today very odd words, words that seem rather incorrect if you really want to follow him. If you really want to follow Jesus, what he tells you today seems like a tragedy. I have come to set man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And then we focus today, as we have been in all of this summer and the rest of this church year, on the catechism. And today, rightly so, is the fourth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. It's kind of a strange intersection that Jesus tells us today that father will be separated from son, mother from daughter, father-in-law against son-in-law, mother-in-law against mother, daughter-in-law, and that his enemies will be of their own household. Does it seem like these things contradict each other? To be sure, Jesus is speaking in hyperbole. He's trying to make a point to his disciples that as they go out to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, that as they go out to proclaim the forgiveness of all sins, it will not be easy for them. It will not be easy for us as Christians. In fact, he says it will be so bad that the closest of relationships, fathers and mothers and children and grandchildren, will be tested, and they will even be divided. You know the old saying, you don't talk about politics or religion with the family. But this isn't really news for us today, is it? How many of us have complained, rightly so, maybe, maybe not, about our kids or our grandkids? How many of us, it seems like every generation, looks at the younger ones in our midst and says, they don't get it. They don't understand anything about what life is all about. They don't know how to work. They don't know what it means to be in need. They don't go to church. Kids these days just aren't as respectful as we were when we were growing up. Guilty myself. My kids aren't even here today. They come back next Saturday. I can't wait. What is interesting, though, if you think about this, is that if each generation says this about their kids, what does it say about your own generation? When you think about it, when I complain about my kids or you complain about your kids, you're really complaining about yourselves. After all, you and I are the ones responsible for teaching and bringing up the generations ahead of us. This then should give us an interesting understanding of the fourth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Our Heavenly Father completes this statement by saying that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Luther writes that the fourth commandment is the first commandment with a promise. It's true. Holy Scripture in the Old Testament is chock full of big-time no-nos when it comes to disobeying your parents. If there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood guiltiness is upon him. Exodus 29. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Exodus 21, 17. Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Deuteronomy 27, 16. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. Now, no matter how frustrating your kids get, don't take these passages as prescriptions for how you handle them. We can safely say that Almighty God takes honor, and He looks upon the gift of parents quite seriously. No matter how hard we try to train up our children, they will drift away in our relationships. They may even be strained and divided to where we do not even talk to them anymore. So God calls on us, no matter what the relationship we have with our parents, no matter how strained it is, to still treat them with honor and respect, even if it is undeserved. Luther reminds us that we are to honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. He also says to you parents that there is no higher calling in all of life than that of being a parent. No king or president, no clergy, no athlete, no ruler can compare to the vocation of a parent. It is literally how God works in raising up the generations after us. There isn't a divine hand that tells the little kiddies, this is where you're supposed to go. There isn't a shaft of life that comes into their bedroom at night and says, this is what you are supposed to be when you grow up. God works organically and vocationally through you, the parents. And Luther says there is no higher calling, no matter how difficult it is. So even when parents complain and can't seem to get through with their children, stick with it, because God wears you as a mask to raise up your children even when they are adults. Stick with it, and when things are completely out of your hands, you hand them over to your Father in your prayers, even when they want nothing to do with you. But also notice in this explanation, Luther references also other authorities, not just parents. Luther refers to these as a second type of father and mother, our civil servants, local and national. They are to be honored and respected, not because of themselves, but because of the office they hold. Scripture says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." Paul also says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor or supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to the praise of those who do good, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people." Here is the part that you and I don't like. When it comes to authorities, when it comes to the government, we are to speak well of them. Even if you don't like what the president is tweeting, or if you don't like what Governor Brown is signing into law, pray for them that they might repent of their ways that go against God's will and that they might serve us faithfully, no matter if you have a D or an R or an I after your political affiliation. This puts a damper on our ability to complain, and calls on us instead to honor them, serve, obey, and love and cherish them, and even pray for them when things are completely out of our hands. The police, the military, the emergency crews are to be honored and respected as those who protect us, who give up themselves as a sacrifice for the needs of others. These are all God working behind these various people. And we are supposed to do everything we can to support and encourage them in their service to you. Under this commandment, though, Luther also includes a third kind of authority. Strangely enough, it would be that of a pastor. Luther saw the pastor as a spiritual father, an under-shepherd of God, whose privilege it is to care for you. And as the author of Hebrews tells us, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. As those who will have to give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Gee, Pastor, sounds like you're setting yourself up for some sort of super Christian. Better folks stand in pulpits than people in the pews, huh? No. That's not it whatsoever. Pastors and those in authority in the church and in our society are no better. In fact, in many cases, the pastors are even worse than a lot of the laity. That's why Paul himself called himself the chief of Christians, chief sinners amongst Christians. Yet these are the ones whom God has placed in authority over you for your benefit. Notice I said authority, not power. Authority to go and proclaim the word of God. Authority to go and speak on God's behalf to you. This is not my church, this is still God's church. And we still abide by His word and not mine. This doesn't mean you have to bow down to me as you leave here today in a narthex. Doesn't mean you have to even put me up on a pedestal. I'm not here for that. I'm here to preach the word of God and serve you with God's gifts. I'm really a slave, as Scripture would tell us. Luther says the pastor is chosen from among men and is appointed to act on behalf of men in relationship to God. He can deal gently with the wayward since he himself is filled with great weakness and waywardness. The pastor is given to you to be a sheepdog of sorts, he says, obeying only the commandments of God his master to protect and correct the flock where needed. But Luther also says, and rightly so, these pastors too are sinners and subject to weakness. And though the man inhabiting the office may be poor, the office in itself is God's gift to you. So as you walk out today, according to Luther, you can look at me as nothing more than a mangy, slobbering sheepdog. Don't bring me a box of biscuits. A mangy, slobbering sheepdog who is sent by the command of the Master to look after and care for you with God's word. Nothing more, nothing less. The pastoral office is not about me. It's about the blessings that Almighty God pours out on you, giving you Jesus' death and resurrection for you, for your forgiveness, for your life, and for your salvation, that no matter where your life is at, no matter what you have done in life, said or done or undone, against God and against one another, that the pastoral office is here to proclaim that there is forgiveness even for those sins because of what Jesus has done for you. Through His word, through His holy word, Almighty God will speak through the mouth of a sin-filled sheepdog like me to proclaim forgiveness of all sins, every last one of them forgiven, words of peace given to you by the shed blood of Jesus. Through the hands of the sin-filled sheepdog, Almighty God has washed you free of all of your sins in holy baptism. No matter how long ago it was, some mangy sheepdog at some other church gave you these wonderful gifts of word and sacrament. And here today, by the hands of this sinner, Almighty God feeds you the very body and blood of Jesus, given for you upon the cross for the forgiveness of all of your sins, to go with you no matter how far and wide your life has taken you. And so, as you can see, this commandment stretches far and wide. Parents are given to kids to raise up faithful Christians and good citizens and to provide for their needs and to also take care of them when they royally mess up. As my father used to say, even when I was with the police at one time, the job of a parent never ends. Government is given to you to support and protect you from harm and dangers. Pastors are given to you for your greater needs, your spiritual needs. But in all of this, we see God's work at hand in your day-to-day lives, and what a blessing it is to know that no matter how strained our relationships are with each other, no matter how badly we have sinned, that we have a Savior who obeyed this commandment perfectly on our behalf, giving up His life according to His Father's will perfectly for you. He laid down His life at the Father's command. This love, this forgiveness, this hope is now you, for you. It is the greatest gift that will restore your relationship with God and with one another. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. Freely you have received, freely let us bring our gifts to the Lord.